The most terrifying thing.
What a Kuwait morning. Welcome to the Beardcast. This is episode 71. We had Mark Bradshaw just read some science about Tali, the character from Mass Effect.
To be fair, if I knew that we were recording and using that, I would have done a much worse job.
Yes, so. let's let Mark do a worse job bring it in.
All right, hang on a second. This is how much I care about you people, by the way. Hang on a second, let me find this again. It started off as an analysis of Tali sweat, trying to figure out what it tastes and smell like. I quickly realized that most scents originate from bacteria, which would be minimal to non-existent quarians. The next best thing would be urea. Urea is essential for the metabolism of mammals, and also a bonding agent for, say, pea cresol and ocresol, two odor chemicals found in sweat. These likely aren't available to quarians. He just used the same sentence twice.
Yeah.
And residues of the amino acids and chemicals used in its production are excreted through many different ways, urine, sweat, etc. This thesis assumes quarians are anything like mammals back on Earth and have a digestive system that is at least remotely similar to theirs. I hate this person so...
Science!
Yeah.
Science!
Industry!
I will not allow you people to use the name science with this. This is a sick, twisted mockery.
This is like
everything that is good about the world.
I'm trying to think of an equivalent to fan fiction for science.
Yeah.
This is it.
Religion?
Ace Cold from Mr. Khan.
Damn!
Imran Khan dropping the knowledge.
This is it. We're done.
Here's the deal. I just want to put this in perspective. Okay, all four of us here. I'm Wes Gardner. That's Brian Belita right there. We had Mark Bradshaw do the opening, and then Imran Khan dropping the knowledge. But okay, we do a show about video games, right? So we are in the thick. We are in the weeds as it is. Like we are what you would consider more hardcore than just someone who plays video games a lot.
No,
right?
I refuse to perpetuate the hardcore gamer board.
Well, but here we go.
Come up with a new term.
No, here we go.
We have issues. The thing he's trying to get to is we have issues.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So okay, we're in the thick of it, right? But this is something different. This is
twisted. This is a dark mock. This is something that's been left to rot for too long. You open up like a forgotten trash can.
Yeah.
Like you've left outside for like
Mark's
6 months.
Old two human trash or whatever it was, the human trash can from years ago on the beer can. Not years ago, but that same one. He got it that day and it's just been sitting there since.
That's right.
This is that trash can.
That trash can.
But this is the same type of mind. This guy that put this. This is the same type of mind that like Oppenheimer. You know what I mean? Where he has that weird sort of...
Let's put it this way. Let's say we didn't have video games. Let's say we did not have video games at all, and this person was left to their own devices.
With actual science and, like, weaponry.
Yeah. It's probably for the best that the BioWare forums exist, because it keeps this shit there.
Hey, yeah.
And we have a record. We know precisely where this motherfucker is at.
Yeah. We know
we can kill
address.
Him. We can kill him.
Find him so if he does pose a threat to humanity in some way.
See, I'll be disappointed in BioWare if Mass Effect 3 does not have this guy in it somehow.
Yeah.
Have Thunder... What's his name? Thunder Tactics?
Yeah. Thunder Tactics.
Just this walk just up to Shepard and be like, that Quarian, I know what her sweat tastes like. And just have Shepard punch him out.
Yeah, just like... It has a sweet tinge of peppermint.
And then all of a sudden, Tobias Boone pops in and goes, Toasty!
Every time you land on the Citadel, he's a random encounter, and you have, like, a different, like, alien species that he's found the sweat of.
He's analyzed.
Speaking of... speaking of Mass Effect just selling out, we can talk about the... the toys having DLC.
Yeah. And not only do they have DLC... I'm sorry, go ahead.
But first, let's talk about what number episode this is.
It's a episode
date, because you know I love dates.
Yeah. 71.
Like fix?
71. And it's January 23rd, 2012, the year of our mark.
That's right.
What's up?
It did start today. The year of the mark started today with the Chinese calendar, I believe.
That's fucked up. I wasn't aware I was so well regarded
in
the Chinese community.
People usually pay attention to the Mayan calendar, but for some reason, nobody paid attention to the fact that the Mark calendar actually keeps going to the year 9999.
That's right.
We got lazy, as we often
And do. I think the prophets were true, because I think this was the day that we predicted we would know what Tally's sweat tasted like.
In 99-98, Mark will start adding more calendars.
I'll wake up and say, oh my bad, guys. What have I done?
Oh, God, I forgot. I'm so sorry. Just wake up late like you slept through your alarm.
Oh, God, I hope somebody still makes this shit. Oh, shit. Oh,
so tell me about these Mass Effect toys, because this is the first time I'm hearing about them.
All right, so the Mass Effect toys that are coming out, I'm going to use the term dolls, because you know what? You're buying dolls. Anyway, the Mass Effect dolls that are coming out with Mass Effect 3 will have DLC codes with them. And on these DLC codes will be weapons and... characters. There will be characters with this. Now, that's not insidious enough. It's not like you can buy the Series 3 Shepard for whatever reason and be guaranteed to get whatever character would be in him. No, this shit is randomized.
Oh.
Look, I'm just saying, if there's a chance that one of these things gives me the ability to play as an Elkar, I would totally do that.
They're one per case.
They'd have to sell them on the market, wouldn't they? I mean,
yeah,
like on the marketplace, that seems logical.
I don't.
They
wouldn't
sell this just for action figures,
right? I don't see them giving up actual money by not making this as widely available as possible.
It depends on what kind of deal they've cut with the doll manufacturer, because I mean, like if the contract says that they have to provide an exclusive, well, guess what? You can't do anything with them.
And there's another side to this, too. I think there's all sorts of bad coming from this, right? Stuff that I just think is ridiculous. But also, it doesn't matter what kind of terrible person you are, you'll find a way to get your bonus thing for Mass Effect. So if you buy your dolls, that's fine. But you could also play a game that's not related in Kingdom of Amalur. And you can get crappy armor that way, too. So we can all enjoy our fruitful nonsense by doing whatever we do. The Lord knows we'll probably get some Mass Effect armor for, like, going to the gym. We'll get it for, like...
if you bench press 300 pounds,
yeah.
You get a free character.
If you buy this Slurpee from 7-Eleven, I'm just waiting for that news.
Yeah, it should be the equivalent of what you do. So, like, you know, if you get someone to notarize the fact that you just deadlifted, like, 800 pounds, you'll get a Krogan, some sort of Krogan warrior.
Yeah. part of your Mass Effect diet, as it were.
God, it's too extreme. I see those things at the gas station I usually go to around where I live. I see one of those, like, Call of Duty, Doritos, double XP. And I just hang my head in shame.
What you really have to worry about is if that Quick Stop has the Halo 3 Mountain Dew. Because that game came out fucking 3 years, 4 years ago. So it's like, how long has this been sitting here?
Every once in a while, they'll reformulate Gamer Fuel, I think they call it, and sell it again.
Like, yeah, they did it with Cataclysm, I think. They did it for World Warcraft.
They did a couple times with World Warcraft.
What would the official snack of Nitro Beard be?
Doritos?
Like, it would obviously have to be portable in some sort of plastic tube that you... easily just basically drink the snack out of.
I think
I'd say it'd be Pringles, because those Marvel idiots have ruined Pringles forever.
Out of what Imran, where Imran's coming from is correct. I think it would be Doritos, but I think it would be Doritos 3D.
Yeah, because that was clearly the best Dorito, and it's also obscure.
No. I'm talking about an original snack here. Guys, I'm not talking about piggybacking.
We'll hire Thunder Tactics to make the science behind our...
It would be a snack that tastes like Tally's sweat.
Okay. We just put it as anything, because who the hell's going to say no?
Okay, yeah, let's do this right now. Okay, so would it be a food or a drink?
Or a food.
A food, okay.
Snack, yeah.
Okay. Will it...
What if it was like Doritos 3D, but inside of it was full of...
Mark's onto something. Like one of those Gushers, those old Gusher snacks they used to make.
Yeah.
Just put in a chip form.
Blue cheese.
The Japanese are caffeinated gum.
I fucking got it. Some sort of chip or Tostito chip, I don't know, or whatever, with salsa already inside of it.
Okay. Wait a minute, like a combo, but instead of pretzel, it's made out of nachos, but salsa inside of it.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I see it. Would it be salsa like chunks of jalapeno? Or would it be like a dream?
Do you have an idea for a Nitro Beer snack? Email Nabisco at NitroBeer.com.
Yeah. Email us at snackfoods@whatthehell.com.
Here I have an idea. What we have like these filled pretzel things, right? And they're full of cheese, but they're shaped in a bowl so that you can use them to dip more cheese.
So not only are they filled with cheese, but you have the option of dipping
fill them with cheese. Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever else you want.
I'm saying we shouldn't live with limitations.
I agree.
What if we just sell cheese?
Just cheese?
That's sick. Mm-hmm. Can't do that.
Yeah. What are you on about, Imran Khan? What is this? This is an outrage. Just cheese. But just speaking of ridiculous things that are...
I'm Commander Shepard. This is my favorite snack on the Citadel.
This is my favorite cheese on the Citadel. We started at work. We started selling these new controllers that work on PlayStation 3... but they're shaped like a 360 controller.
That's ideal. Okay.
No. But then it also works on a PC. So this is literally every controller ever made put into one controller. Because you look at it.
It doesn't work on a 360 because...
Right, correct. No, it doesn't work on a 360.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And if it's Bluetooth, then it would just work on a Wii.
And then it hooks up to the Amiga.
Right, and it also comes preloaded with 101 games.
Yeah, of really bad Mario knockoffs where Mario is purple instead of red, so the licensing can get overturned. But this is our post SOPA world that we live in now.
Did we get written permission to talk about Tostino's pizza rolls?
Oh, no, it's true, man. They could end our website for copyright infringement.
I don't think they know how to use email.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
We're probably safe.
They have a 1-800 number on the back of their bag, for God's sake. If you have a problem with your potato chip, call this 1-800 number.
Yeah, what's up with, what kind of problem with potato chips do you have?
Not only that, we should get the guy that works there on NitroBeard and ask him what kind of questions he gets.
Right, what kind of problems.
And also, what would we have to complain about in order to get free potato chips? Because that has to be the end game, right? Call up and demand free chips.
Yeah.
I'll call up with, like, I was eating Doritos and it severed my voice box. Something that's terrible, I know. I'm sorry.
Turns out there's a specific waiver on the back of a bag of Doritos saying they are not responsible for the esophagus being torn to shreds.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like, have a very random, yeah. I fed them to my giraffe, and my giraffe had really bad diarrhea. And then
Speaking of giraffes, can we talk about how the Resident Evil 6 logo looks like a giraffe getting a blowjob?
Yeah, it really does.
And it's upsetting. I'm going to pull it up. I don't know, Mark, have you all seen the latest?
Yeah. It was like the first thing I noticed about it, that it looked like a giraffe getting a blowjob.
I mean, look at that.
No, when I saw the logo without any sort of like context behind it, I just looking and said, "What? Why is this weird giraffe like dancing on here?" It's like,
I mean, and he's like not just getting one; he is actively participating.
Yeah, he's leaning back.
He's
like,
This is the best day of this giraffe's life.
He should win some awards at the AVN Award, like the Adult Video Network Awards. Like, this is amazing, and he has like. And it looks like
how often is a giraffe getting in play to begin with? So
that's true. I mean, because that brings up the question, Jeffrey the Giraffe from Toys R Us. Like, that's the first thing I thought of. It's like
it's got to be. It's got to be a tie-in promotion
in due time with Toys R Us. That's right.
So let me get this straight. You saw a giraffe being flated.
Oh no, this is Rorschach test.
Or flaccid.
No, flaccid is when it's
yes,
unerect.
I was trying to figure out what you were. Yeah.
Yeah, you see a picture of a giraffe getting a blowjob, and the first thing you think about is Jeffrey from Toys R Us.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
That's deep-seated.
It's a Rorschach test.
Emotional fears. It's like, no, Jeffrey's going to get me.
Can't go to sleep. Jeffrey will get me.
See, the funny thing is this logo is only used in America. They're not using it for the Japanese Biohazard logo.
Interesting.
So you know somebody was just insisting that they put this bacteria logo on there.
Yeah. Either that, or I'm surprised since this is just for the American ones that the giraffe doesn't have an angry eyebrow. Like, he's squinting, like, visceral.
Nice. It's a katana-wielding giraffe. What is that even from?
One Piece.
Oh, that's pretty neat. I think.
That is pretty cool. Our new
basically anything with giraffes is pretty cool. I don't think there's anything to do with the giraffe that isn't pretty cool.
But where's his beard?
We can.
Giraffes' beards are on top of their heads. That's what those horns are.
Oh, I see. Thanks, Thunder Tactics.
Not a prop.
for your scientific breakdown.
That should be a Twitter hashtag. Thunder Tactics facts.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to do that. Let's get this.
Thunder Tech facts. So it's
let's make up some shitty science and then add Thunder Tactics.
No, it's shitty science, but also like really creepy, disturbing science about fan characters.
Awesome. The spaceship from Radiant Silver Gun was arrested for rape in 1994.
Well, Thunder Tactics facts.
Oh, God. So, like, the fifth result, if you Google RE6 giraffe, is ask Capcom, RE6 logo, please change it.
The other thing is, they paid somebody a lot of money for that logo. It's not like they didn't go up to a PR firm, or they didn't, like, get somebody's, like, nephew to just draw this fucking thing. This went through steps. This went through a process. Tens of thousands of dollars were spent on that fucking logo. And not one fucking person stood up and said, wait a minute. It's a fucking giraffe getting a blowjob.
Yeah.
Because that's all you have to do. That's it. And it would stop right there.
So just a quick tangent on the name of that, you know, Capcom thread, please change it. That reminds me. So we've been playing some Half-Life Deathmatch, like original Half-Life Deathmatch. Mm-hmm. And we've had some problems trying to host our own servers. And I popped into one of the Steam forums, which of course is a cesspool. And one of the topics, this is a game that came out in 2000. No, it wasn't 2000. No, you're right. It was 97. No, 98.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out in 98. So this is a game that came out in 1998, like before Steam. And it's no longer being regularly updated. And this guy was like, you know, please change weapons or something like that. You know, like, please change crossbow so it's not explosive. Like, I mean...
We should just email people and have them change all the stuff in Legend of Kyrandia. Be like, everything's unbalanced. And
Right, everything's unbalanced in this point-and-click adventure. To a studio that no longer exists, but
guys, I have an admission to make. I can't stop staring at this fucking Lyria figure that was posted. The Japanese Lyria. Lyria, yeah, the Lyria, whatever.
It's the Lyria, Mark Redja.
It's Lyria, okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure there's at least four stores in Manhattan I can like go to within the next half hour and own that thing. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because... 60, really? Wow. Yep. See you guys.
Howdy. Yeah. Deal of the century.
Wait, are you talking about this?
I feel like maybe he actually went.
All right, since it's radio, we don't really know.
Is he talking about this like,
the,
super...
The one I linked you? The...
Busty Japanese one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you shame yourself like that, Mark?
Because I have no shame and... No girlfriend, and this can be my girlfriend.
Wish you had a blue girlfriend.
In my opinion, Mark Bradshaw lived so close to Occupy Wall Street and all that haberdashery that he deserves to to treat himself to the shitty anime Lyria figure.
Did two of you guys actually had to go through the last protest to get to work? Like, they were like locked arm in arm and basically in front of my office.
Just play Red Rover. Just stick for
us. There was on the 2 month or 1 month anniversary of Occupy Wall Street, they decided they were going to shut down Wall Street. And they successfully did this for about 5 minutes. And just so happened to be the 5 minutes I was trying to get into work. That's my story.
Did they
break their arm link or go under them?
No, they foolishly forgot that there are like loading entrances into every skyscraper in the world. And you can just go to the loading dock and go right into the building.
Oh, yeah. See, and that, but did that excuse work? Like, if you were late to work and be like, no, there was literally a gang of people outside, and they're like, I don't believe you.
It actually did. We actually had a contingency plan in place for the OWS shit. We called Boss and look, dude, there's like 5,000 people outside protesting. So, all right, whatever.
And they're like, okay, we don't mind if you're 4 minutes late.
Yeah. We won't fire you today.
But tomorrow is a new day.
tomorrow we will fire you.
And the thing about the OWS kids, they really piss me off. And like, my business relies on like getting FedEx like through the door and like processing parts and like getting techs out with those parts. And, like, if they would have hung out for like maybe half an hour more, FedEx would have never shown up, and I wouldn't have done any work that day. But nah, these fucking selfish fucking kids.
That is an amazing anomaly. These are people that are complaining that they can't get jobs, and you're complaining at your job that they're not doing good enough to make sure you don't work.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It all feeds upon itself.
It's like, come on, are you guys really that useless? Can you actually not have me not work? God,
what
damn.
You should do is you should go out there with a megaphone and organize a protest just before you're supposed to get the delivery. And just walk
yeah.
You're not occupying hard enough. Come on, just keep occupying harder.
Five more years for another event of this caliber to take place.
And just walk outside and start screaming Ron Paul 2012.
Okay, yeah, this works.
God, I can't wait for USX.
Those people won't leave the house. It'll be like, Ron Paul 2012. And they're like, Ron Paul.
Like, yeah, Ron Paul.
Yeah. Then they go back into their mom's basements and resume eating Pringles.
And get
there. Yeah, if you're a Ron Paul supporter, I just said you live in your mom's basement and eat Pringles. Fuck
America
you.
Is Newt Gingrich's wife now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about some video games.
We did play some of that. You kind of mentioned before.
Oh,
we did
God,
play that
Half-Life
Deathmatch.
I love Half-Life Deathmatch. Like, I don't know. A part of it is obviously nostalgia, but it's also just fun. It harkens back to a time where it was just like, yeah, fucking Deathmatch.
It's really
you know,
basic.
We don't need any of this team play bullshit. No leveling up. And it was just,
Right.
Here's the problem with Half-Life Deathmatch, because I actually went through the big Half-Life Deathmatch period. But for its time, it was a really shitty Deathmatch game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it probably still is today, because Duke Nukem Forever was still like relevant, and like you could play Duke Nukem 3D. Rather, I'm sorry for bringing that up. Duke Nukem 3D was still relevant. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to play Duke Nukem 3D Deathmatch or Half Life Deathmatch, you were a fucking pussy if you played Half Life Deathmatch. So,
I respectfully disagree with you.
You are wrong.
I play everything for the most part.
Did you play it? Would you play it when they were historically relevant?
I played both of them a lot.
Like, when they were historically
relevant. I played that Duke Nukem 3D Deathmatch after Half-Life Deathmatch came out. I flip-flop between. I play all God's games.
Right. I love all of our Lord's creations.
Jesus loves the little video games.
Our Lord being EA.
EA-sama.
But yeah, we were playing that, and it did remind me of how good those very bare bones deathmatch games are. Because yeah, now it's to a point to where everyone needs all these hardcore strategies and everything like that. And you know, there were even guys that joined our server that you know clearly Russian because we couldn't understand anything they were saying.
Well, also their names were spelled with Russian characters.
Yeah, that's a pretty good tip off. And
also, all of their conversation revolved around pile drivers and wrestling bears.
Yeah.
Also, there was talk of the Soviet Union rising again.
Yeah. It was really weird. It was a really weird server. But doing that, and then, of course, you know, Brian...
They started to do the babushka dance, like, halfway in the
match. But here's the deal. They were tearing our shit up, man. Like, me and Brian were chasing one another with crowbars.
We were also playing with Ryan Bloom, Blaze Hedgehog.
Yeah, Blaze Hedgehog.
Well, sure. I mean, these guys have been stuck in the Soviet Union for the past 20 years.
Yeah,
they've had nothing else to
play. Half-Life just came out there.
Yeah, I was super excited. Yeah, they were really good. And they were good enough that I think they may have been hacking.
Pretty sure they were.
Maybe, because they would teleport around. And I'm like, I don't
know. They were moving like 400% faster than we were.
Yeah.
But let's ask you this. If I told you that there was a secret Soviet program to create the world's best Half-Life Deathmatch player, you wouldn't question that.
Right, that's true.
I'd believe it.
Yeah.
I'd buy the movie rights.
Right. Yes. And sell them to Yuvabor. But but no, so I mean, yeah, I have a lot of really fun memories of Half-Life Deathmatch because when I was living in South Africa, there was a cyber cafe.
Yes.
Remember those things?
I do.
Cyber cafe, and like there were like neon around, and like people would come in like trench coats, and like, they talk about like cyber things.
Well, I mean, yeah, and people would just come in to use the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, they also had a pretty good contingent of gamers. So like we knew the people that owned the place and like some of the people that worked there. So my brother and I spend countless late nights there, you know, from like after close until like 1 in the morning at this cyber cafe, like playing Half-Life Deathmatch, you know, like Counter-Strike, like Beta 2 and, you know, really early versions of all these games. And so a lot of really fun times playing, you know, like Bounce and Crossfire and Bad Rats, like these, or no, Frozen Rats, not Bad Rats.
That's a cool boy.
Oh, boy. Bad Rats. Yeah, so it's really fun. So if next time we're playing, I'll like send out a tweet or something saying, hey, we're playing on the server, come join us. So if you listen to this, go right now, download Half-Life Deathmatch Source or the regular one. We haven't really, I mean, they're fairly small file size-wise, so just get them both. And,
they're like 150 megs or something.
We're still trying to figure out how we can host a private server.
Yeah, and try to get it right.
Without having hacking Russians join in.
Yeah, and kind of on that same related note, and this kind of goes in more sort of Nitro Beard news, I know, Brian, you and I were talking last night about some added functionality we're going to try to add to the site. And since we're kind of talking about games, we're going to start playing kind of older classic games that we will play with people. We're going to try to hook up some sort of a video live stream stuff onto Nitro Beard proper. Like,
right. Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, we'll pretty much just embed the stream right into the video page on Nitro Beard instead of having it linked to a Blip TV archive, which isn't really being used.
Right.
So we'll just do that, and that way, you know, you don't have to, oh, fuck, what was the goddamn website? Was it Ustream? Was it Livestream? Was it Twitch TV? Was it Justin TV? So we'll just embed it there and
do it that way. You can some things go there, hang out, chat.
And have some links to the YouTube page and all that jazz. Yeah. So.
And we'll start doing a lot of live stream events now. I know in the next few days I'll be playing quite a bit of Diablo 2 on there. And I
don't know if this one lends itself particularly well to live streaming, but after that podcast we were talking about games, and I was like, and if anyone gifts us a game, we'll play it. Dragon gifted me The Secret of Crystals on Steam.
Oh, that unicorn one?
Which is like that unicorn racing game or some
shit. Yes.
So maybe I should stream that someday.
We have to find a way to just to get Skype on there. And that
or edit together of some sort of video of it. So I don't know.
Best of video. Yeah.
So we should play through Monday.combat. So now I have 2 invites.
If you guys
are interested.
Yeah. That game, I tried out. How is this one different from regular Monday Night
Combat? I have no idea. I've never booted it up, but they keep sending me invites.
That's bizarre. Because I played the original one. I forget. I think Kevin Snow, the creator of Brave Mule. I think he gifted me a copy because it was like $3, and he was like, "Here you go." And I loaded it up, and like I had some fun with the tutorial and stuff, but I never did anything with it after that.
Right.
It seemed like it could be fun, but.
I know there's a bunch of new classes in this one, so maybe that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, the game itself was fun, and it didn't take itself too seriously, but I don't know what this is their free-to-play model, I guess, and then they're probably going to do microtransactions.
Oh, God. Why? I mean, I guess companies are having success with this, but I just know every time like I see free-to-play or, you know, microtransactions or freemium, I'm just immediately like, no, thank you.
Yeah, because you know you're going to get advertisements.
Right. We're not only that, but then, you know, nickel and dimed, and, you know, if I'm not willing to plop down money, then maybe my character will be less powerful or whatever. So I
can see what they did with Monday Night Combat, because that game kind of tanked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, true. They maxed out at, like, 10,000 people.
Oh, wow.
That is true.
Like, ridiculously low for as big a spread that game had.
I understand. I understand the idea, you know, it's free so people will get it and then they're in the door and from there, you know, you can ask them for some change.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, barrier of entry is one of those things that, I guess MMOs, it's kind of a very easy way to do it, but I am curious how they're going to do action games, like, you know, the Monday Night Combat, and I still don't know if Dota 2 is going to be free to play or if it's going to be...
I don't think they've decided yet.
Yeah, because if you go on the store page, like it says I own the game, but I just have the beta, but I don't know if that's the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they're going to be like, okay, now the game's out, and it's the same client, or if they're like, okay, now we're going to stop beta and then work for 3 weeks and then put out the actual retail copy.
Right.
But yeah, free-to-play is definitely one of those things. I think it's good and it's bad. But...
Yeah. Well, so other than the night of Half-Life Deathmatch, you've been playing much else, Wes?
I'm about to actually restart Mass Effect 2 because I forgot a lot of the details on the story.
Like what Tally's sweat tastes like.
Yeah, like that's going to be my first thing. I'll be like, where's Tally?
BioWare actually hired Thunder Tactics as a new writer for Mass Effect 3.
Which I'm super excited about. So it's going to be...
Mr. Continuity Expert.
Yeah, it's going to be nothing but big tank battles and tasting Tally sweat as stamina. But, but
yeah, the trick is you have to capture Talia and then like break into her suit. Because the thing is, you can lick her, but it will kill her.
Oh,
so you only get to use it once.
Yeah,
right.
And it better be worth it. But
it's worth it.
But I will say
haven't lived.
It's like toad licking. I will say that I did play the demo of Final Fantasy 13-2, and.
Did you play Final Fantasy 13-1?
Not all of it, because I gave up on that game historically.
Yeah, your hate for that game is pretty
It is profound. And this one is... 13-2, they said, oh, we're going to fix all the problems. I don't know if they fixed them, but they made them less of a problem. I don't know. I think, okay, my main concern with Final Fantasy 13-1 was the battle system... was good, but you were never allowed to do it until like 30 hours into the game because of the crazy long tutorial. And it seems like they still kind of have that tutorial mindset in the demo, and of course for the demo, because, you know, people who wouldn't even have played the first one are going to play this one. But it seems they've added so many more features that actually work well with the system they already have integrated that it's kind of expanding on it, which makes it less shallow, I guess, because it always felt like the battle system was empty. It didn't feel like I was actually doing anything. But now they're adding that whole Pokemon thing to where you can, any monsters you fight, you have a chance to get them in your party. And then based on what kind of animals you have in your party, then you can do different loadouts and stuff like that. Like, they're expanding on the battle system, which is good. And the map is no longer a straight line. It's more of the style of, like, Final Fantasy X and XII, which is...
Oh. It's also one of the two games this month that Ezio was in.
Ezio was in? Oh, that's right. The fucking... Oh, Jesus.
Ezio Auditore.
Is he still, like, a console exclusive, or is he on, like, all the versions?
He's on all versions, but it's DLC.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the 360s not getting a console exclusive at all this time with it?
I don't
know.
Because I know
the PS3 is still getting Kratos. So, Kratos.
All right, Mark, someday we just got to sit down with you and iron out all your pronunciations.
Just say every word once.
Just get a dictionary.
All right, we need to all of these games. How do you say this one, Mark?
All right. Joust.
Okay, all right, well, at least you got that.
What's that? Juiced.
Juiced.
Juiced is a racing game.
What about that one, Mark?
Our Topadaka Quartar.
Perfect.
Perfect. Absolutely.
In fairness, who cares that game correctly?
Yeah.
Dare you people to pronounce that fucking thing correctly. That's because true. Those things aren't words.
Our Topadaka Quartar?
Yeah, see? I think it's that one.
You even know about Japan. You don't know about that shit.
Okay, this one is actually actually a famous one that causes everybody a little bit of grief.
Suikoden.
Well done. Yeah. There's a lot of people that say Suikoden, and I want to kick them.
That fucking number grid game. I'm terrible at that.
That's Sudoku. That's Sudoku.
Yeah, that's
Sudoku. No, damn it.
Sudoku.
What?
Walmart, but, so what video games that you can't pronounce have you been playing?
I have actually broken down. Well, I broke by backlog. It's kind of ridiculous, I realize, because...
Yeah.
GameStop had the buy two, get one free use thing this weekend. I just went and bought more fucking games, despite the fact that I already have like five games I've not played. So went out and decided I'd probably give Arkham City a shot. And it turns out, if you ignore the open world crap, it's a decent game. It's not as good as Arkham Asylum, but it's a decent game. And it probably deserved to be ranked higher than in my game of the year, like final things, than it was. But yeah, it's not bad. It's not amazing. It doesn't suck.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Have you beaten it yet?
No. The fucking thing has too many controls. The first game had probably too many controls, and this just adds more shit onto it. Now I've got to worry about dodging dudes with knives, because they will just decide to murder you. And I got to figure out how to. Now you got to worry about dudes with shields. And now you got to worry about like quick firing your freeze ray, because now you have a freeze ray in this fucking game.
It's a freeze grenade, really. I mean,
a freeze grenade, sure. To... sure.
See, what I feel like is that Arkham Asylum was well designed, and Arkham City was kind of not very designed at all. Because there's just dudes that were like walking around with guns. And when I went in somewhere in Arkham Asylum, I knew where the people with guns are. Because it's always going to be it's a puzzle room that you get through.
Right.
Yeah. In Arkham City, I'm going to be on the side of a building, and some guy just starts shooting at me.
Yeah. But it's going to be like just like Two-Face's henchmen and Penguin's henchmen just like having a conversation, just talking about how each of them suck. And you just happen to drop in the middle and say, yo, what's up? Guess I'm going to beat the crap out of you guys because I have nothing to do.
And you also had a little rant about the Riddler stuff, right?
Yeah, there's too much Riddler shit in this game. It's like...
It's 400 trophies, I think.
There's 400 trophies, and it's like... The first game...
We're talking about Riddler trophies, not like PlayStation trophies, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. Fucking PlayStation. but the first game, they had enough in there. Where there were a lot, but there was enough that, you know, you finish the game, and then you go through and try to find them all. You know, it's extra layer on top of the game, make you go back and search out like the hidden little nooks and crannies of the game itself. In this one, they just kept throwing. There's just so much shit that I know I'm not going to collect this shit, and it's at the point where if I can't just easily collect it, I'm going to ignore it because I'm not going to collect all this shit. So why should I collect any of it if I can't easily pick it up?
Yeah, it's an all or nothing deal. I agree.
Yeah. So it's
I tagged them all, but then once I got to the end of the game, I was like, I really don't care to go back and look at all this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at some of them, just like, I have no fucking clue what they expect me to do for this thing. And beating the crap out of people is way more fun than this shit anyway. One of the more dudes beat the crap out of.
And admittedly, beating crap out of people, the crap out of people, is really fun in that game. I love that fight system.
With a baseball
bat. The problem is, like, you look at a Riddler trophy, and if you can't figure it out immediately, your mind goes to the idea, like, what if I don't have the right item for this?
Yeah.
And that's why there's no way to figure it out.
Yeah, right, and then you have to go back and find it.
And so automatically you think, well, maybe I just need to wait till the end of the game to collect all these trophies. But if you've completed the game and you realize there's too many fucking trophies, fuck it, I'm going to play a different game. And that's when they make their features.
Yeah, I uninstalled the game because it's like it's 18 gigs sitting on my hard drive just in case I want to go back and do all that stuff one day.
Yeah.
And no real incentive to do it at all. And but one of the controls, they put an electro shotgun in this game. Never mind the fact that Batman should be using guns, but whatever. They put an electric gun in the game, and the gun has two firing modes. For no reason that I can really tell, it has, other than to like manipulate puzzles, it doesn't really like add anything to the game. It's like what you use one trigger and it opens generators. If you don't use that trigger, it does nothing and just sits there like an asshole.
Batman, set your phaser to stun.
You can either shoot it to go up or shoot it to go down.
Yeah, and you're not going to remember which is which. So it's like just number one, don't put this fucking gun in the game because it wasn't in Arkham Asylum. And Arkham Asylum was one of the finest crafted games ever made, and you're not adding anything to this thing. But if you're going to add something to this game, don't add needless complexity with it. And, like, I'm looking at, like, whenever
so
I, like...
compare and contrast to Darksiders.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good contrast. It's, like, because it had a lot of the same problems where, like, by the end of the game, you finally had all the crap you wanted, and you
Right, you've got, like, 18 different mechanics to think about.
Yeah, and, like... You were an unstoppable super god, but you only were able to use any of the shit in, like, the last, like, fifth of the game.
Batman's basically an unstoppable super god.
For all intents, yeah, unless somebody has, like, a chair, and then, like, you throw the chair at him, and it's fucked. So, but yeah, it's just way too much shit, and it throws it at you, like, later in the game, and you can't take track of it. And if you walk away from the game for a day, you've completely forgotten what the fuck you were doing with all this shit.
Yeah.
It's just,
I hate that feeling, man. I literally did that exact same thing with Guild Wars the other day. Mm-hmm. I restarted my account and I looked around and then I just shut it off because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, where am I? Who's that guy? What's over here? What am I in the middle of? And I just got overwhelmed. And I was like, no, never mind.
wait, what? So, sorry, I.
Oh, with a
Guild Wars sucks.
Oh, Guild Wars. Okay.
Yeah. Guild Wars 2 looks awesome, but yeah, that thing about coming back to a game and being in the middle of it and not knowing where you're at or how you got there or the context of...
This has happened with so many fucking games. Like, it happened like Beyond Good and Evil. Like, I walked away from Beyond Good and Evil for like 3 days, came back, no fucking clue where I'm at.
Yeah.
And it's not really interest me enough to like go back and like try and figure out where I'm at again, because to do that I'd have to like restart the game. So what the fuck ever. This is why Skyrim is great, because it has two attack buttons and they both suck, and you're not going to do much with them, and you just wander around and hopefully shit will happen. You can't forget how to play Skyrim, because you don't do shit in Skyrim, you just wander around.
A great analogy I heard for Skyrim the other day was, it's an ocean that's 3 inches deep.
Yeah, I'd see that. There's always something new to look at.
Yeah.
Ocean of Dragons.
The Dragon Ocean, yes.
The Dragon Ocean.
Drag Ocean.
3D.
Yes.
By your...
It's a shame about Arkham City, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is.
And the thing is...
I mean, I liked it overall. It's just...
It's a good game.
It could have been Arkham Asylum 2 when it was sort of Arkham Asylum 0.5.
It was the Uncharted 3 of Arkham of Batman Rocksteady games.
Maybe, but you take a look at it, it's like Uncharted 3 is just going back, and like City is just throwing more shit at it until it gets fucking incomprehensible and sort of like makes you regret turning on the system. You know?
That's harsh.
It's a good game. I like the game, but like when I turn it on, I was like, this is a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just like follow the mini map to the era, and that's what I do.
The map itself kind of sucks.
The map is terrible. Don't look
because
the
there's subterranean levels and there's like skyscrapers and stuff like that, so you never know.
Internals of buildings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, enough about Bruce Wayne.
I would like to say, like, for the third one, they need to, like, go to Bloodhaven or whatever and just, like, get rid of his crap. Give him his grappling gun and give him the Batarang, because that's what the game is based around. That's what Batman is based around. And maybe the explosive gel stuff, because that was neat. But don't let it be, like, a quick-use weapon in the fighting system.
Yeah. It
bothered me once, because I accidentally used it during the middle of a fight, and I could not get it to detonate.
Yeah.
And so I died trying to, you know, explode these couple of guys.
Hold R2 plus circle square and press select in the middle of combat.
It's like, I'm not going to ever do that.
Right bumper, not right trigger, but right bumper.
Yeah. Or go play GURP.
Yeah.
GURP, yes. GURP, yeah, I love GURP.
See, anyway, I think the truest answer they need to, if they do make another Batman, which they will, because they probably made a ton of money on Arkham City, what they need to answer is what Bruce Wayne's sweat tastes like.
Mm.
Wine and taste like. Justice?
Justice and lemonade.
Stitches and Doberman.
Yeah. It's just that Old Spice musk. Like,
would Batman's sweat taste differently, like when he becomes like Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
Is that logical change?
I think there would be.
He's that dedicated to the secret identity.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't smell the same.
That's what he learned in those mountains.
In the caves.
In the caves from Ra's al Ghul. He learned how to
Sweat
modify it, yeah.
Because some crazy asshole is going to chase Batman based on his sweat, and he knows that asshole is going to be able to track Bruce Wayne using his sweat. So he has to do this. You know he can.
Batman Craven. Versus Thunder Tactics.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
The rumor is that now that Rocksteady is working on an Ninja Turtles game, which I'd be all for.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Like, as in Bebop and Rocksteady?
Rocksteady is from the people who made Batman Arkham Asylum.
No, but you mean you get the Ninja Turtles, there's a bad guy named Rocksteady.
Well, clearly Rocksteady would be enormously overpowered.
Maybe you play as Rocksteady.
King Rocksteady.
Well, if you think about it, in that first Ninja Turtles game that Konami made for Nintendo, that the first boss you face is... Which one was the Rhino? Bebop?
No, the Rhino was Rocksteady, I think.
Well, you face Rocksteady, and he'll just charge at you until he hits a wall.
Yep.
Then you hit him. So that's essentially every Rocksteady boss anyway.
Man, we're putting the pieces together. I like this.
Yeah.
We've been getting hints since like 1987.
Yeah, this is a 35-year-long con that they're pulling on us.
And then
we have no other ideas. We're sorry. Just can't these guys like a copy of Bayonetta or any other Platinum or like Clover Studio games? Like, here's what you do. I hate boss battles. I don't like
these boss battles. Crane was pretty much the best enemy.
Yeah. How did you beat Krang? Didn't he have, like, lasers or something?
Are you talking about, like, the NES game or the arcade game?
I think it was the NES game. I can't recall how you beat him.
I'm pretty sure it was some...
Was
some
he in the second NES game? I feel like the final boss was Shredder.
Yeah, final boss was Shredder.
you fought Krang in the second one, and I think you just kind of knocked him down. Or you tried to aim for the middle, I believe.
Oh, that's right. You did your little jump kick and...
Yeah.
Is that what you've been playing, Imran?
I have not been playing Ninja Turtles for the last 18 to 19 years.
Yeah.
It's now you really regret wasting your life.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I've been playing a lot of demos.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Asura's Wrath demo came out, and I, judging by internet reaction, I don't think anyone knew what to expect from that game, and what it is not at all what anyone thought it was.
Is it just a QuickTime event game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a one-season anime on a disc.
Yeah.
Is it rhythm-based?
No, it's not, like,
son
what
of
the
bitch.
Demo is, you're sitting in a hot spring, and you just start looking around, and that's it. You look around, and a bar fills up as you look at things.
Is it QuickTime events?
It's like Heavy Rain. I get it.
It's not even Heavy Rain. You're moving the analog stick around. It's like you're looking at enemies who are hiding. And then
once you
see them, they'll like recognize it and hide again. And then grab a girl's tit.
So this is Pokemon Snap, but for anime.
And then once that happens, your master punches you. It says to be continued, and you fight him on the moon.
Okay.
That sounds...
And then you start fighting him, and the bar starts filling up again. And once the bar fills up, you go into rage mode. More QuickTime events. And you can't like
become a video game made by ID Software.
Yeah.
It is literally it's literally a one season anime. That's I went back and looked it up. This is how they've been pitching it for a while. But I think Capcom USA realizes you can't sell that here.
Right.
So they've been trying to be sort of quiet about it. Maybe try to get people to think it's a brawler, where it's mostly not.
Yeah, but all the media that I saw, I got the idea that it's some kind of like crazy, over the top, like grasshopper manufactured, like styled sort of game.
Yeah, that's how all the trailers seem to look.
Right.
But it's not. Like, you're more likely to be sitting around looking at things or doing rhythm dance games than you are to be fighting.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which is weird, but I mean, it's the game they're making. I just think that Capcom's kind of pulling the wool over people's eyes here.
Asura's Wrath is his glaring stare. That's all it is. So it's just his menacing, like,
It's. I mean, some people have said they've been more interested in it since the demo, and a lot of people have said there aren't. But it's at least good they put out the demo. So people know now what they're getting into.
Did you try the you're talking about demos? Did you try the Kingdom of Amalur?
I downloaded it, but I haven't gotten a chance to try it yet.
It is very much Fable.
Huh? Is it good?
Like, good parts of Fable?
Fuck! I have to play that game, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Dude, you got off easy, man. I'd much rather play Fable than Leisure Suit fucking Larry.
Among the three of you, Fable is probably the least bad game.
Right.
You've got.
But you might be more upset, Brian, because you have the good game that ends terribly.
Yay!
But, I just know going in that I'll be drinking a lot during mine, but the Kingdom of Amalur demo it is good, but imagine a game made by an MLB pitcher, R.A. Salvatore, Todd McFarlane, and the dude from Oblivion.
You lost me at Todd McFarlane.
Well, because that is whatever your
you
mind
had me a Todd
whatever your mind so, came up with, you are exactly like, right.
It looks like Todd McFarlane art, or it kind of like has he's just incredibly lazy.
Well, he's the art director, so everything has spikes for no reason.
There's a lot of neon green.
Yeah, I'm serious, man. Like the opening place has a giant neon green crystal, a giant one. And I could not stop laughing. And then
just imagine McFarlane like slamming his hand on the desk, like no, everything has to be green. That guy green. Those orcs green.
Did you guys ever watch the old Spawn HBO cartoon?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Okay. You know.
More spikes.
Well, no. You know, the way I envision Todd McFarlane, I imagine the rest of the studio just like a normal studio with cubicles and stuff. You know the room that you would go into right before any of those episodes started? And it's Todd McFarlane, and he'd slowly look at the camera and be like, darkness. What does it mean to be a man? Like, that's what I envision all their meetings. Like, the camera would pan over to Todd McFarlane, and then the lights would dim automatically, and, like, he would say something nonsensical.
Every time he talked, the lights
Yeah, go. Exactly. Like, they'd be like, Todd, what do you think? And then it goes, you hear that low bass, the boom, and then, like, all the stuff, like, slowly shuts down.
And then John Leguizamo pops in.
And he's like, yeah, boss. But, yeah, it's... It is definitely a game written by R.A. Salvatore, because you are an awakened spirit that did have a history on some mortal realm, but now you're immortal, so nobody can see your fate, and you have to design your own fate. So yeah, it's everything bad about R.A. Salvatore. And it's all the art design. If you mixed Fable with World of Warcraft, as drawn by Todd McFarlane, that's what this game is.
Okay, which, Fable 1 or Fable 2? Because I'm willing to put up a Fable 2.
Actually, that's a good question. I would actually say Fable 1, because
that's too bad.
There's no pirate hats or anything.
There's a downloadable demo on anything, so
yeah,
you can try
it. You can download it on, absolutely, you can download it on Steam.
Well, that's good, because I ain't going to spend $60 on a PC game.
And then it has a weird, I mean, the game itself is fine. Like, the battle system's pretty cool.
As long as it's fine, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's serviceable. For what the game is, it's serviceable. The thing that I don't get is how they're making everything seem very important. Like, they have the British woman doing the narrative. You know what I mean? It is. It's hammy. It's past that point of being, I don't know. There's a certain point that if it was slightly nonsensical, I would probably fall in love with it. You know what I mean? Like,
it's completely non-ironic.
Yes, exactly. And here's the thing. I talked about Final Fantasy XIII-2 earlier, and that game is starting to not take itself as seriously, which is good. So that series is moving in the right direction. But this is Kingdom of Amalur: The Reckoning. Yay! Like,
that's a big fucking title. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a big.
Well, supposedly EA wanted the Reckoning crap on it, like, or something like that. Or is that backwards? It's like the studio wanted, like, didn't want the subtitle.
They wanted to just call it Reckoning, and then somewhere along the line they thought that wasn't good enough, and
Reckoning.
That's this whole project like that.
I think that's where you realize things were kind of going off the rails with this project, because when you start off with the subtitle and the subtitle is The Reckoning, it's, why do you have to take yourself so fucking seriously? Yeah. I'm going to put up with this for like a couple, like 100 hours. I just, it's going to get old.
Right.
You know?
At least
it would be great if they if they said the title of the game like every 3 minutes. Yeah. The Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Yeah. You must stop the reckoning for the Kingdom of Amalur.
They should be really aware of it too. Like, it's time for The Reckoning.
Right. After every main boss fight, the title screen comes back on. Like, it just reminds you where you're at. But yeah, that's, I mean, if you haven't played it, Imran,
Reckoning.
I would actually like it if you played it, Imran, because I'd like to hear what your stance on it is. Because the game as a game is okay. You know, it's not anything spectacular, but everything else about it seems absurd to me. And I don't know if I'm just reading into it and being, like, slightly cynical because my soul was broken because of Dragon Age 2, or...
You're looking to the wrong person if you want a different perspective on that, then.
Right.
I'll download it. I'll
for the team.
Oh, he's so brave.
Oh,
please. Wait a second. I got the same scene. This will be my reckoning.
Mm.
Speaking of quick demos, Wes, have you played the Resident Evil demo?
I have not. I have it on my 3DS, and it says I only have 30 activations left. That really doesn't make sense to me, that whole activation limit. But my buddy was playing it at work, and he was like, oh, man, you got to just put it on 3D and walk around. And I did that for about 10 seconds, and I was like, this looks really good. And that's all I've played of it so far. So I haven't shot anything. I haven't actually seen how it all comes together. But
this is Resident Evil 6 Draft-Felatio-ations.
Yeah.
That works. But turn on over-the-shoulder aiming and turn on, what I think it calls it, Super 3D or something. Because that'll make it much better.
Super 3D.
Wait, not just regular 3D, but Super 3D?
It's like the highest level of 3D.
Apparently.
It makes it look a lot better.
Scientifically proven.
Your 3DS's battery is draining so quickly you can hear it.
Right. But yeah, the game looks great. But the only thing is, man, $50?
Yeah, I bought it for... $40
when Amazon
had it on sale.
They're charging $50 for it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
This is where we're moving with handheld games. Trust me, when the Activision gets their first couple of Vita titles out, it's going to be the same.
Yeah. That's upsetting. But, yeah, and I know someone on the boards was talking about they feel kind of bad because on one way they want to support making actual games for the 3DS, but then another way they don't want to support $50 games for the 3DS. But then it's also Capcom actually taking a chance and doing a full line Resident Evil game, so they want to reward that, but it's still $50, so it feels, you know, it's just at a crossroads. It's really,
you feel bad. Yeah,
I do. I'd feel bad for supporting it, you know. But I'm also the same guy that I'm going to buy Tales of the Abyss, a game that I've already played. So it's basically a port with bad 3D, but I'm going to rebuy it at full price because I like the idea of that game on a handheld.
Yeah, that happens. There's a lot of rebuying.
You know, that's it does happen like that. But I don't know, man. It's kind of the same thing with you, Brian, in like $60 PC games. There's just something... There's something about it that just doesn't feel
it's
right.
It's wrong. That's what it is about it, Wes. This is wrong.
That's what's not right, is that it's wrong.
So, let's joust and do a break.
Joust.
Joust.
Our reckoning shall happen in the break.
This the shall kingdoms be our of reckoning. Nitropia,
go to and
there'll be plenty of revelations in the next after the next break.
Todd McFarlane presents...
Giraffe blowjobs.
I'm tweeting that right now. Hey gang, welcome back from the break. We are here. We're still here. Kind of tired after this pulverizing we just did.
It was mental. It was mentally very strenuous on all of us.
There was montage music playing all the time. Right, you want to walk us through what happened?
Yeah, so one of the games I've been playing recently is Words with Friends on iOS. I picked it back up. I had it a while ago on my iPhone because it's basically a free Scrabble clone. Well, ad-supported. I mean, there's a pay-for version without ads, but anyways. And so I've been playing that because, I don't know, a couple days ago, just the other day or whatever, I don't know when, Sean Vanneman, who's an Idle Thumbs guy and is now a writer and designer at Telltale Games, mm-hmm. He just kind of put out a tweet saying, you know, hey, let's see, what was it? Hey there, invite Vanneman to play Words with Friends if you dare. So I did. And I replied to him, let him know, you know, hey, I'm just challenged you. My name's the Dong Police. So we've been playing Words with Friends. One of the first things he did was Wiener blocked me. I was going to play the word Wiener, but he totally blocked me.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So anyways, so I enlisted the help of Mark Bretschall, Wes Gardner, and Imran Khan to help me figure out what word I should play next.
That's right.
And so now, this is...
Keep in mind, you actually had the help of two people here because I can't spell things. So.
Right. Right. But you can pronounce them flawlessly.
Yeah.
So anyways, so
that helps people think.
You were the judge we referred back to if we had, can you use it in a sentence? And we'd come back to Mark.
So they helped me knock out a 40-pointer over the break, and this is what happened. Yeah.
It's just we're trying to maximize.
Yeah.
Maximize points. Increase dividends.
Let's see. And double word is worth more than triple letter, right?
Depends on the breakdown, but usually.
Because I'm also looking above that U where it says triple letter to see if there's any U that can fit in the middle of a word, but...
Yeah. Okay. Dictionary.com says broom is a word. B-R-U-M-E.
I feel terrible using a word I don't know, though.
Why? You win.
This is actually pretty much guarantee you the victory.
Yeah, man. Because you got your T, you got your triple letter for the B, R, U, M, and then double word for the E.
I'm gonna do it.
Do it, Belita. The power is yours.
I'll do it, but I feel really bad about it.
You have won your victory.
Do it. Okay. All right, I'll play it.
Your victory will be sweet enough to drown out the bitterness in your heart.
I now have 295 points.
This is truly his reckoning.
Yeah. You see that? Now we're going at war. I think this is the starting shot for War with Idle Thumbs.
Okay, are we back? Are we still talking about Arkham City? Wait, what's going on?
Okay. But yeah, so that's what happened. So I guess
who are you people? Why am I here?
Where are my clothes at? We traveled back in time, Doc Brown.
So I don't know. Hopefully, I don't get accused of cheating by Sean Vanneman and therefore banned from the national playoffs of Words with Friends.
He is free to pull in Chris Remo and Steve Gaynor. And whoever else he wants.
They're pretty smart guys. That is true.
Yeah.
This would be fucking Team Scrabble.
It's Nitro Beard versus Idle Thumbs.
Oh, man. Playing on the same iPad in a room.
We're just on different sides of the table, just menacing.
You just turn it around.
Ugh. We're going
to
get him.
No, you have to use Mark. You have to use him. He's on your team.
No, not Mark. No, you take him.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, so there have been some pretty good words played in that game. I wanted to play video, but I couldn't quite get it. I just got to play game. So I've been trying to do fun words, and he's been doing words like ovum and and ode and cos.
Play to win.
Play to win. That's right.
Play to win. That's right.
Yo, bitch, you've been owned.
Bring it in a huddle. Come on, let's huddle up, guys. It's
Let's bring in these tiles.
This is the last 4 minutes is where it makes or break a man. You know what I mean? Come on now.
Is that sports ball talk?
That is. You got to kick that hula hoop through the ice ring. You got to score that line drive touchdown and get that 9 points.
You don't know anything about sports.
John McCain's op-ed research on – or not op-ed, sorry. Opposition research on Mitt Romney came out this week. And one of the things it said was Mitt Romney – there's a video of him saying – the Harlem Globetrotters are good, but they have a lot of trouble getting touchdowns.
Wait, well,
I thought that was going somewhere racist.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be racist for me to talk about racism right after sports ball talk?
No.
I don't know.
It would only be God's will.
I'm not sure what standard operating procedure is for this. But anyway, so other than words with Vanneman, I've been playing Puzzle Juice, which is another iOS game, which is really, really good. It's it basically combines the elements of a lot of different puzzle games. Take Tetris and then like word find games or, you know, word making games. Basically, anyway, so you got tiles that fall from the sky, mm-hmm. and you know, you can arrange them, they have colors on them. And if you kind of match three colors, you can tap it and it'll reveal like a bunch of random letters. And you can then use those letters to spell words in order to eliminate the tiles. So there's a lot going on the screen, but it's really good and a lot of fun. And besides that, I was kind of mad though. Like I bought it, and like 3 hours later, it dropped like to 99 cents.
Aw.
But that's the App Store, anyways. That's like, you know, a double down,
right,
at KFC.
Yeah.
But no, I've been playing a lot more Rage and really enjoying it. And I agree with Matt Pierce on everything he said about it. It's like it's a video game. There's like no nonsense bullshit. Like Matt fucking tells me exactly where I need to go. I shoot things, and the characters are really kind of amazing. Like I don't know about the actual writing or, you know, the voice acting or the, you know, the stories behind him. I don't know, whatever. But like the animation and the character, what?
Or any of this other crap.
Or any of that other stuff that... What?
Never mind. Never mind.
I'm going to rage.
You're going to rage.
Anyways, so like... But the characters are really, like, the models, the animations are kind of amazing, just the way they look, period. Like, at one point, it just kind of clicked me. I was like, man, this is just kind of like a Disney movie, almost, in terms of the animation that they had in there and the way the characters look. So, I hope they do more with that engine.
Hell yeah.
And maybe with Rage. But there is this whole thing that I think Rock, Paper, Shotgun did a little write-up on about kind of perceived freedom. It's a very... It's, I don't know, I guess it's linear off of spokes, it would be the way I could put it. But, like, I see all this area that I want to go explore, but then you can't. You just hit walls. So there's this kind of, this sense of freedom that you have that isn't really there.
Oh, yeah.
But so, as far as I know, as of right now, Rage, I don't know, kind of flew under the radar a lot and maybe didn't get as much recognition as it perhaps should have.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good times.
And, yes, so that's about all I've been playing. A bit of Dust Force, which I posted up the launch trailer for, I think, the other day.
Yeah, there is a war going on right now on those scoreboards.
Yeah, between Mike Lemieux, George Cavalines, who does the art for Brave Mule, and they're kind of time battling, and I'm afraid that Dust Force might awaken that wild time trial beast inside of me that InMomentum did a while ago.
Yeah. InMomentum looks like a lot of fun. I need to get on that. I'm just so bad. I wanted to get Dust Force, but I'm so bad at Super Meat Boy, and they're similar enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my mind would just go back to that place. I don't know.
This is kind of a friendly Super Meat Boy, though.
Really?
Like, you know, instead of sliding along walls and leaving trails of blood and entrails and hitting razor blades... You're sweeping leaves and dust off of the floor as you go, but I think there are spikes later on.
Oh god!
What's the point of that?
So it's
like, environmentally nice, Mark. That's what.
So it's like Oliver, but mixed with
the chimney sweeping song from Mary Poppins.
Yeah, mixed with what was that parkour
Monday
movie?
Night Combat.
Yeah, but mixed with Kiss from a Rose. Off the
B13.
Yeah, B13.
Or basically parkour in general, period.
Mm.
But that's really all platform games. But anyways, I digress. So that's really all I'm playing. Right, I have to thank David from Thick Mustache for gifting me Dust Force because I came second place in the Photoshop in a Photoshop contest that he ran out of two people that entered.
you got second?
I got second, yeah. I'm pretty proud.
Man, that's good. You got the silver medal.
We were kind of amazed. Like they posted up an image of one of the guys that are on their podcast, Sean. Not Sean Fannerman, a different Sean. But
so basically everyone you know is either named David or Sean.
David or Sean, yeah, right. I know
pretty sure.
David Marshman, they posted up a goofy image of this guy and said, okay, Photoshop him into something Saints Row 3 related, and you can win a copy of Saints Row 3. And, like, you know, he posted about it. Like, I told all, you know, the platformers about it and all that jazz, and they had two entries. Do people hate free stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I guess doing effort is a large barrier of entry for a competition in which you win something for free. Well, I mean... minus your effort,
right? It all depends on diminishing returns, right? If they spent $60 worth of time, like, okay, how long did it take you to do your image?
Probably 180 seconds.
Okay, so in
fairness, you did get last place.
Yeah,
I did get last.
Sure,
place.
You didn't quite put the effort.
But really?
Yeah, you got a 40-point word on Words with Friends. Just couldn't muster up that 190 seconds.
I think mine was better, but I already own Saints Row 3, so I understand. I mean, David had to...
This is a fixed... is that what you're saying? That Thick Mustache fixed their results?
Yeah. Well, you tell me. I'm going to send you guys the link while we still chat here.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do this live. We'll be the... We'll
so take
be
a look
indicators.
And you tell me.
Yeah. We will be
mine's,
the judges.
Mine's the second one. And the top one has some context. And also, that entry was late, I should add. I mean, come on.
It's pretty good.
The top one isn't even Saints Row 3 related.
That is true. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This isn't Saints Row 3 related.
That's Mad Men?
It's
again?
Mad Men related, yes.
Yeah, you followed the rules at least.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now.
And I had mine in on time. But anyways, so I...
Also,
so...
in fairness, but you have Saints Row 3... So I guess maybe they took that into consideration.
Right, exactly. So, no, I understand. No hard feelings.
All hard feelings.
Or all of them. So, yeah. But I haven't really been playing much else other than that.
Gentlemen,
a lot of Minecraft, actually.
I think it's time the Stash Cat met its reckoning.
It's reckoning? Are we going to bring forth?
Kingdom of Mustache's reckoning.
We shall bring forth their reckoning. Much as we brought Idle Thumbs, it's reckoning.
This would be
by playing that kick-ass word.
Kingdoms of Facial Hair, reckoning.
Reckoning.
Basically, all of you people are going to get reckoned.
Yeah, that's right. And Nitro Beard is doing the reckoning.
We are the reckonators.
That's right.
We are the Gam Reckoners.
One of these days, we're going to do a live PAX show, and we're going to be dressed up as the reckonators. We need to make up our own costumes. We all look like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh God, I saw the video of that. The fucking Macho Man Randy Savage mod that replaces the dragon in Skyrim with Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, and then all the fire just.
It's terrifying. It was special.
The opening is the best part because they're like, "Did you hear that? It's for you, Hogan." And they're like, "Oh no!"
Yes.
It's the funniest. Oh, that timing is so good.
Oh God, hold on. I have to hold on. I gotta read this. So some guy that I follow on Twitter retweeted. Hold on, I gotta find this right now. Hold up, it's coming up. It's coming up. Fucking load Twitter. Okay, here we go. So he retweeted this. I'm gonna. All right. God damn it. All right. What? Shit.
What are you doing? What is happening right now?
All right. He just retweeted this thing, and it just cracked me up so much. All right. When I died for 4 minutes.
Oh shit! Wait.
When I died for 4 minutes on the toilet last year, I had a vision. My son is going to kill me with a sword over Warcraft in 2023.
Nothing I can do? Wait a minute, what the fuck? Okay, is this just some random...
I think so, I don't know. His Twitter account is at Treebro.
When I died for 4 minutes on the toilet last year, I had a vision.
Now it could be he just had a very strenuous like bowel movement, and right. He went to a stroke, and he died for four minutes.
My son is going to kill me with a sword over Warcraft?
In 2023.
You could not let your son play Warcraft.
Or this is just...
Or keep a sword in the house.
Or will Warcraft still be a thing in 2023?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it'll still be a franchise, but like...
Maybe it's not over that. Maybe his son is thinking about like all the time.
You guys are killing my. You guys are fucking harshing my mellow here. All right, I was just giggling over that, and now you are whatever, Captain Thunder.
No. We're gonna. I think we can figure this shit out.
Thunderpants. What was his name? Thunder Logistics.
Thunder Tactics.
Thunder Tactics. That's what you guys are. You guys are Thunder Taxoning.
What if his son? What his son is a grown man at this point, and like his dad has already finished with Warcraft, so his son is going to remember all like the
ways. You don't finish World of Warcraft.
Well, he's finished with World of Warcraft, and his dad is thinking of like all his son is thinking of all the time his dad has spent playing World of Warcraft instead of like paying attention to him.
No.
Since that, and he kills him.
No, I got it, man. You know how the lead designer of Diablo 3 left Blizzard, right? Well, like, by 2023, everyone except for Treebro and his son are going to leave Blizzard, but they'll get hired. And then they'll be in a meeting about bringing back Warcraft, and he'll want to, and his son won't. And they'll get so upset, they'll stab him.
Are we doing Treebro Twitter fan fiction?
Yes. I'm going to Twitter that as well. Let's see.
Twitter fan fiction, there's a hashtag.
Treebro fanfic.
No.
Tactics.
Treefic.
No.
It was a guy who wrote a Oh My Goddess, which is an anime fanfiction, except it's 2 million words long.
That's a book, I think.
He calls it fanfiction.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah.
He set the world record for it, which...
Sure.
Proud parents, I'm sure.
So do we have anything worthwhile to talk about? Was there any big news this week?
Oh, dude, if we're talking about Cerebro killing or like, no,
basically,
there was nothing.
Basically, we should probably like just admit to our viewers that this was complete bullshit this week, and we are sorry.
Just madness is happening.
We have reviewers?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh,
listeners.
That, if anyone,
we'll just pick a one random person a week and say, you edit this.
Yeah, go for it. And oh, I'd feel bad if they had to edit this one. but every once in a while, we do have these crazed, very manic episodes.
We need to do another mailbag, beard bag episode.
Yeah, we do. How about
it's been a while.
How about we end this one and think about the beard bag later?
The mailbag?
Yeah.
People should know that next week we're going to do a mailbag, beard bag episode, and you should send us your questions.
All of them.
No one's going to send shit. We're just going to have to announce it on our platformers.
Yeah, probably. That,
or what if all this Tree Bro fanfic opens the floodgates?
That's what we're waiting for mainstream appeal. Tree Bro fanfics.
What's Tree Bro fanfic?
All I've ever wanted in life is for Tree Bro to follow me.
.net.
.com in 3D.
Wait, did you tag him on the tweet, Les?
I hashtagged Tree Bro fanfic, Thunder Tactics, Idle Thumbs, and fanfic, and put, what in God's name is this beard cast about?
You have an at, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. My past 5 tweets have been live during the show, and if people are looking at the view line, they're like, what is happening on that beard cast right now? Because it's been anarchy. But yeah, this has been episode number 71 of the Nitro Beard Beardcast. And
goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, goodbye.
It's your move, Sean Vanneman.
Awake,
it's your move.
Awake every morning thinking of Sean Vanneman's next move, thinking of Thunder Tactics Science, all of it. Think about all that shit. Send us questions next week. Beard bag, mailbag forever.
What do you think GLaDOS's oil tastes like?
Oh.
Yeah.